tonight. So DJ, do you mind shutting those back doors for me, please? All right. 1 John chapter 5. We read the scriptures this morning, so I'm not going to, just for the sake of time, not going to read them again tonight. We'll look at them one by one as we come to them. We looked this morning, and I spent a little longer than I anticipated, but it's the Lord's will, how He wanted it to go, on knowing that you're saved and understanding that. And I hope that you do know. What a certainty. What a blessing. What joy comes from knowing, having that absolutely settled and saying, you know I'm a Christian. I know that heaven is my home. And you know that the trials and temptations of this life, they can really take a toll, can't they? They can be really difficult. But if you have that absolute knowledge that I am a child of God and heaven someday is my home, there's a joy that cannot be robbed from you, regardless of what takes place. And knowing, and John says, I've written these sayings that you may know. And so we see that. Number two I wanted to look at tonight, and there's some other things that we can know. But I want to focus specifically tonight on verses 14 and 15. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. The second thing we know, and as we finish 1 John here, is we know that God answers prayer. We know that God answers our prayers. We're waiting for eternal life. We're waiting for heaven. We're waiting for all that to come to play, to pass. We're waiting to enter into the presence of God, to have those and walk those streets of gold and enjoy those mansions that He promised and bask in the presence and worship of the Son of God. And verse 11 says that, the same chapter says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And it says, verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We possess life even now, but it's not going to be fully expressed, fully fulfilled, until that day we are raptured, we are taken up into heaven, and we get to experience eternal life after we enter into the eternal presence of God. We know that we have eternal life. It says this, and he that hath the Son hath life. Right? Not will have, but has. It's the now. It's the present. It's settled. And what a blessing to understand that. But in the meantime, while we wait for that day, we have problems. We have struggles. We have concerns. We have issues that we have to deal with. And you know what? They can range, can't they? Boy, sometimes it's just some little things that are, nipping at our heels. But sometimes it's some big giants, some big old monsters of problems that we have to deal with. And we know, in verse 14, we have confidence. And the confidence we have is in God. As it says here, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Again, we see the word what? No. 30-some times throughout the book of John, you see the word no. I think it's 39 exactly. You see the word confidence. There's some knowledge. Now, we talked about how in this world, we're not tolerated. You know really what drives the world crazy? Is having absolute truth. Everybody wants to have their own personal version of truth, right? You know, if you're a boy, you may not be a man or a woman. It just depends on what your version of the truth is, right? And that's really what it is. It's humanism. Every man is a law unto himself. There's no biological or even, right? You could say that wall is not there. Well, that's your truth. Yeah, I know that sounds silly, but is it really? Think about it. That's sort of how people think. You know, it's really, it gets to be almost crazy, insane. Right? You would say, Pastor, if you came to me and said that wall's not there, I think we ought to, and you persisted in that thinking, I think we need to put you in a crazy house. Right? That's not normal, but that's how the world thinks today. And that to the world is intolerable for you to say, I have absolute truth. I know what is right. Because that means that they are wrong. You see why it bothers them so? I mean, nobody likes to be wrong, do we? We all like to be right. How many times you sat there and argued a point? It really is of no consequence necessarily, but I had to prove that I was right. That's human nature, and it's not a good part of our human nature. You know, it's sort of a proud part of our human nature, but it's human nature. And the truth of it is, when we have absolute truth, and it's not a truth that's within us, it's a truth contained in God's Word, given to us by God, that irritates people, angers people, because you know what? It means that their version of truth is wrong because it's contradictory to what the Word of God says. But again, we know some things. We know that we have eternal life if we believe on the name of the Son of God. We know that He answers prayer. He hears. He will answer. Come on in. We know that we have, like I said, eternal life. He answers our prayer. And before we're able to experience heaven, before we're able to experience eternal life, there are great needs, issues, struggles, battles, temptations. And this idea of confidence, it's the idea of freedom of speech. Look, if you would, in chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence. We have a liberty of speaking. We have a freedom of speech. We have a freedom to boldly go before God and to ask. There's nothing restraining us. There's nothing keeping us. We're told in Scripture to come what? Boldly before the throne of God. Right? Boldly before the throne of God. We have confidence not only in the life to come, not only in eternal life, but we have confidence in the here and now, that we have access to God. Right? I mean, that's really what it is. We look forward someday to heaven and we'll be in the presence of God for eternity. But my friends, you have access to God right now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enter in before the throne of God. We have confidence. We know that we can come before His throne. We've yet to inherit what has been laid up for us, but we have all access to the resources that God has promised us now. And that's what John says. He says, this is the confidence. We are bold. We are confident. We have a freedom of thinking, of speech. We have liberty, and we have boldness to come before His throne and lay hold of the resources that are ours through the Lord Jesus Christ, even before we get to heaven. A boldness to enter into His presence, to freely request whatever we need. Verse 14 again says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. It means toward Him, in His presence. We are confident to go right into the presence of an eternal God. Think with me for a minute on that. That's an amazing thought. That you, John Miller, that you, Robert Dyson, that you, Matthew Boyce, that you, right? That you and I, little old us, can boldly, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, throw open the doors and enter in. I didn't mean to break the drywall. We'll fix that later. No. Right? Don't break the drywall of heaven. You know, maybe not so much of a door push. But you get the point, right? I mean, you remember when Esther, right, was brought before the king? Remember, and basically, if the king did not lift his staff, she would have been summarily executed. But she went instead because the life of her people was that precious. You and I don't even have to worry about that. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, because of who we are in Jesus Christ, you and I have the ability, the liberty, the freedom to get on our knees and find ourselves confidently know that we will find ourselves in the presence of God. Before an almighty, eternal God, the creator of heaven and earth, Jehovah God. That's confident. That's a blessing. We can ask freely for what we need. We know, of course, you ought to underline it, there's one condition. I mean, this is a carte blanche, right? Empty checkbook, right? That God has given us. With one condition, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth. The one condition being this, according to His will. He hears us. It's more than just listening and knowing of the request. It's a positive hearing. It's a hearing in which, you know what, we're going to get the right answer. We have confidence in that. God's going to tell us and give us exactly what we need if we ask according to His will. We literally have a blank check. I remember I had a friend who traveled the country in ministry and was given a credit card by a wealthy man and was told, whatever you need, no matter what it is, just use this card. Now, I've yet to have that happen to me. Now, for Christmas, if one of you want to come say, Pastor, whatever you need, yeah, I'm okay with that. But, you know, that I was pretty young then. I mean, you know, I was, you know, poor and, you know, just out of college and, you know, I was, to hear that, I was like, wow, that's awesome, you know. Man, I could go eat here and go there and woohoo! Friends, that's what we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we have before God. We come before His presence. We have that blank check in His will. Anything on the bank of His will, we can request. Verse 15 says, and if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Hearing is answering for God. No limits, a blank check, just one qualifier, according to His will. What an amazing promise that as we wait for the redemption of this body, as we wait for the next life, you know what? We don't have to wait to be in front of God's presence. We don't have to wait to enjoy the blessings of being a child of God. We have that privilege right now through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the confidence in the meantime that our prayers will be answered. Go to chapter 3, look at verse 21. We're going to look and sort of deepen this idea for a minute. The Bible says here in chapter 3, verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Again, another qualifier. We do His commandments, He says, right? Or keep His commandments, rather, and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You know, what is the commandment? Verse 23, and this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment. So if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you keep His commandments, you love your brothers and brethren, which follows salvation, you can ask whatever you want and you'll receive it. Pretty bold, pretty amazing. Confidence, assurance before God that we will receive what we ask. Go to chapter 15 of John. Of course, written by the same author, inspired by God, all of it. But the same human author, so we see the similar style, similar themes. In John 15, look if you would at verse 7. John 15 and verse 7, he says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Go now, if you verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. Whatever you ask, if you believe in Christ, if you abide in Christ, and His Word abides in you, that defines a believer. That's what a believer is. A believer is someone abiding in Christ, the Word of God abiding in them. If your spiritual condition is one of manifesting obedience towards Christ, love towards others, you can ask anything. The only caveat being that it is His will, and it'll be done. Isn't that a blessing? Boy, I tell you, get a hold of that. Go to John chapter 14, look at verse number 13. And you see the same theme all throughout Scripture. John 14, 13 says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Again, staggering, amazing. If you ask anything in the name of Christ, and that's equivalent to asking for things that is in the will of God, you'll receive it. To refer to the name of Christ is to refer to who He is and all that He does. It doesn't literally mean, you know, people will say, well, in Jesus' name, amen. And people take that, that's what that means. And I'm not saying that's a wrong or bad thing to pray. But what Jesus is saying is the things you pray ought to be prayed in such a way that it's consistent with who I am. Right? I've told you that story over and over, right, about the old boy, our preacher down in Texas went door knocking, the old boy knocked on one guy's door, and he was so excited to see him, he ran in, ran and grabbed his Bible, came back out, and on the back of his Bible was pasted a check for $10,000. He said, I'm praying, this is for my new pool. I'm praying, God will answer. That's sort of how people treat Jesus. You know, he's like a lucky rabbit's foot, right? He's like the lottery, man. He's like the ship that needs to come in. And that's not, well, I'm praying in Jesus' name. Yeah, but is what you're praying in God's will? That's the only caveat, Christian. Sort of makes it important to know what his will is, doesn't it? Right? I mean, I don't know about you, but if the secret to answered prayer is to what? Be saved, to be right, and to pray in his will, it really doesn't seem that complicated, except for our pesky flesh, right? And the fact that we really don't seek his will. We're seeking our own a lot of times. Truth of it is, what a blessing, what an amazing thing. It's basically what Jesus is saying is when you pray, if you pray consistent with the way I am, how I am, you pray in consistency with my will, it'll be answered. One other scripture, and I'm done tonight. I told you I'd be a little bit shorter. Go to chapter 16. Look at John, the Epistle of John, chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. He says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So earlier he said, you know, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now we see that our joy might be full. In other words, when God answers prayer, puts him on display, puts the Son of God on display, and they receive the glory. And then he adds, it will give you fullness of joy. Have you ever been there? Man, you've been praying, God, I'm seeking your will. God, I'm asking for this prayer to be answered. And God does so. He answers in a way that is plain. It is God. What kind of feeling did you come away with? Oh, man. Got another prayer answered. Oh. Woo! Hallelujah! Come here, kids. Come here, husband. Hey, church. Right? I wake y'all up. Your kids are... Pastor's going to have a stroke. All right. What do we know? We know that we can be saved. We know that eternal life is ours. We know that our prayers will be answered if they're prayed according to His will. I sort of covered this a Wednesday or two ago. Challenged our church. Really need to check our motivations when we pray. James, we're not going to go there. If you want, you know, James chapter, is it chapter 4? He says, you have not because you ask not. You ask amiss that you may consume it on your own lust. How many times do we pray with the wrong motivations? We're not really seeking the will of God, right? We're not really seeking that God is glorified. We're seeking for ourselves. And a lot of, you know, hey, but when you think about it, if what we're praying for lines up with the will of God, man, it's going to be a blessing to us too. God, whatever I'm asking for, I want you to be honored. I want it to be you. I want people to look at you. I want the sun to be lifted up. And you know what, Lord? I'll get some joy out of it because you're glorified. We pray in His name. We pray identified with Him. We pray in His will, seeking only that which would glorify the Father and produce true spiritual joy. And especially remember, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. We're to do it without stopping. Things to know. Grab a hold of the promises, my friend. You said, Pastor, you know, I've tried that. I challenge you. Have you? I know the Bible isn't wrong. If we're not, you're not having prayers answered, it's something to consider. Lord, where am I going? Where am I going wrong? It's not God. His promises are true. Somewhere I must be out of line with the Lord. I want to be in line because I want to enjoy those promises. What a blessing to be able to enter before His throne even now. All right, let's pray and we'll go on and do some business. All right? Father, thank You for Your Word. I pray that it would be a constant encouragement and a blessing, reminding us of who we are and what we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father, for salvation. Thank You for giving us a home in heaven, but even making it much sweeter by allowing us a place, an opportunity to pray, to literally enter into Your throne room through prayer and to see prayers answered, to see our requests answered. We are so blessed to be Your children. Lord, to have that kind of joy, fullness of joy through answered prayer, having some absolutes and certainties that the world can never understand. I thank You. We are so undeserving, but we are so blessed. Thank You for this time together tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. I ask that You would bless this time of consideration as we seek Your will on what the things we ought to do this year should be. And Lord, we know that You could return tomorrow. We don't want to be so presumptuous as to think, Lord, we may not even be here tomorrow. But Lord, if You tarry, we want to do the things that are honoring and pleasing to You, that will strengthen ourselves for Your kingdom and reach more people with the gospel. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I appreciate, thank you for visiting with us tonight. We're going to have a little church business meeting. So I did, we could let the children go in the back. I know Miss Gwen said it was fine, but that's up to you parents, all right? So.